Hey everyone, welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort. And without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast has come a long way since jamming to AC/DC and Motley Crue in the kitchen. He comes from an extremely musical family, his oldest brother a producer, his other brother a rapper, and he just came out with his second single, Crazy, with episode 12 guest Jake Crocker. Together, they bring that grit of underground hip-hop with the pristine production that can only be likened to chart-topping hits from Post Malone, so please welcome the man inspired by that crazy gal we all know, the MC with the self-proclaimed feat of a former ballet dancer, and one of the vibiest artists in Seattle, Rilla.
Oh, that was fire. What the fuck?
Sorry, I had to go off the cuff there a little bit to change things up, but...
No, that's fire.
We made it.
That was butter. Yeah, that's tight.
I'm glad you dig it, man.
Yeah, that was sick.
So, first things first, Jake tells me you've got quite the tattoo stories. So, should we start with the stomach or the one that got started in the wrong spot?
Oh, my God. I told you I had tattoos. I didn't know you were going to... Okay. My first tattoo I ever got, I was like 15 and a half or 16. I must have been like late end of 15 because I couldn't drive yet. Because I remember I hit my homie. I was like, bro, I need a ride to this dude's house. He's like, yep. I was like late 15. This dude, this like random 40-year-old, I don't know. He's like, I was like, what do you want? And I got, I'm not even going to get into it. I have this dumbass giant tattoo on my stomach that I wish I didn't have. Yeah, he just like blasted my stomach in the on his kitchen table when I was like late.
Pretty
15.
Standard tattoo.
Yeah, he had like 15 kids, not 15. He had like 5 kids and like not exaggerating 10 bunnies, like little rabbits, like running around his house. He was super drunk and did it in like 30 minutes, which you just saw the tattoo. It's fucking huge. And it was the worst. I do not regret much more than that in my life. So that's a good one. And then my other tattoo, this time I was 16 because I remember I drove. We were like throwing parties. I was super drunk and I had a tattoo gun and I was like, I'm going to tattoo my own thigh. Like my dad's not going to see it, you know? So I like, which thinking about it now, he already saw my stomach. So I don't know why that was a concern to me, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to blast my own thigh. And my homie's like, no, let me do it. Let me do it. Also blacked out. I was like, you're right. I'm not going to say what this is either. It's just shit. And he starts tattooing me and I'm like, I look down and I just like sobered up for a second and I was like, fuck, that's too low. And he's like, shit, and like scribbles it out like it's a pencil. So I'm like sitting there, he's like, oh, for real? I was like, yeah. And he's like, and I was like, what the fuck? And I look down and now there's like a scribble on my thigh. And then we just finished it a little bit higher up, which not higher to the point where my dad couldn't see it. They're both pretty low on my leg. But I have that one. I think those are the only bad ones. I have one on my other thigh that like my homie also has. So it's like, you know, it's like symbolic, you know, it's still cool. And then I have my knees. And so, you know, from now on, the tattoos are all going to be not well thought out, but like I'll agree with them for at least a week in advance. That's going to be the plan.
And then like a standard tattoo shop, or is DIY the way to go?
Hey, if it's cheaper on someone's kitchen table, I'm going to the kitchen table.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
Yeah, I got the homie who tattoos now, so we're good.
Right on. I think that might be the best intro we've ever had.
Yeah, I think it was good.
Yeah. So I guess we'll take it all the way back to the beginning.
Let's hear it.
You mentioned that you recall freestyling as early as like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, I was like just getting out of being a baby. I have a bad timeline of like what babies can do at what age. So when I talk about being 4, I'm like, yeah, I couldn't even talk yet. Like I couldn't walk and people are like, what? But now I'm starting to get a better grip. So I could like walk and stuff, you know, as a 4-year-old should. And we used to go upstairs where my oldest brother's was and he had like his mic, his like MPC, all his shit set up because he was making music too. And they would just like make a beat and be like, Vinny, freestyle. And I would rap about like eating chapstick and like just like bullshit. And we would listen back and like, that's hard. Like, you killed it. And they'd pipe me up and I thought it was filthy. But I think that's like, as far as making music, that's absolutely like my earliest memory is like freestyling with my older brothers when I was just like a little ass kid. And we did that shit all the time. And I remember like also upstairs, like we'd have like big ass family events, like dinners on Thanksgiving and shit. And like everyone would go upstairs, like all our cousins, and they'd like record each other and we'd have like battles. So everyone would be battling each other. Like I'd battle our other little cousins, but I'm like the baby of the family. So everyone was like, I didn't do anything cool, but that's easy. What I remember like at first was definitely that.
But early on, it sounds like it was super fun.
Is yeah, it fair to yeah, say? Yeah, no, like, it was tight. It was so, yeah, it was. I mean, I still have fun doing it like now, but like, I just remember like how much fun I had. And like, my brothers, they loved me, but they did not want me hanging out with them like ever. Like, obviously, you know, like we're all 6 years apart. So I'm, uh-huh. yeah. So at this time, I'm 6 or whatever. And then like my middle brother's 12, whatever. So I don't. I'm just like not good at math, but basically they just like didn't want me around. So they'd like play video games and like lock the door, and I would just like wait outside of their door type shit. But when we went upstairs to freestyle, they were like, come upstairs. And I just thought it was so tight. So I had so much fun doing that.
Yeah. Were your parents musical, or was it just your brothers that got into it?
No, my parents, like, they just like listened to music. They like a lot, like super heavy. They would like always like, cause my dad worked hella early in the mornings and my mom like stayed at home and watched us, so I like didn't see my dad until he got off work at like 7. But on weekends we would all kick it, and they'd like make us breakfast and shit, and like they had like a radio, and I remember they'd play like hella AC/DC, hella Motley Crue. Like my dad fucked with Metallica super tough, so it was honestly like in the beginning it was like just rock. Like I just listened to hella rock. I had like hella AC/DC shirts. That was like my favorite hoodie to wear at school. My mom's just like loves butt rock and like always will. Like it's crazy. But yeah, that was like the start of it, was just them slapping music in the kitchen. And then I got a little bit older, like whenever like on demand started to be a thing, I think I was like 9 or something, and my dad would like kick it in the living room, or like my mom would, and just throughout the day we wouldn't like watch TV a lot. There'd be like music videos playing, because that's when nice. They added like music videos on TV and shit. Or like even before that, what was the channel that played music videos? Like VH1 or something?
MTV.
MTV. So we'd always have that on with like the throwbacks playing and shit. It was tight.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you think made that, what garnered your interest in hip hop? Because I know your older brother's in hip hop as well. So you mentioned it was like a rock background.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That was like, that was just my parents. So that was like what they were listening to. But my dad also liked, my dad was slapping like Wu-Tang and shit like that. And so that's what my oldest brother was into. He liked Wu-Tang, and like Ryan would listen to shit like Nelly and like all that era of music, and like Mike Jones and Paul Wall were his favorites. So then I don't remember how old I was, but I got my first CD player, and like as a little brother would, I just wanted to get whatever they had. So I was getting like Mike Jones. Like my folder said like, who, Mike Jones, like on my folder when I was in kindergarten. And then I started listening to like, I think Black Eyed Peas was like my first group that I really remembered, like, oh, I need their CD. So like I was slapping that. So I think just seeing what they listened to, and my oldest brother at the time was starting to rap, so I was like listening to him do that and his beats, and I was like, oh, that's cool, because he's doing it, you know. And then like 7th grade or something, Ryan was making music too. He was like selling his own CDs in middle school and shit. So I just like, they were doing it, so I kind of wanted to do the same shit basically.
Right.
Yeah.
And so did you continue kind of playing music with them, or as you were growing up, were you still like going up to their room and doing tracks, or was it you'd graduated kind of your friends?
Eventually it stopped, because like my dad, my oldest brother was like hella loud all the time, and my dad was like, you need to stop, and like got rid of his shit, like got rid of his turntables,
oh, no.
got rid of his mic, got rid of everything. I guess that's what happened. I don't remember, but that's what I heard. So then that just like stopped, and then I don't know where Ryan was recording, but he had started making his own CDs and stuff. So like when he was in 8th grade, that's when it started to become more of like a thing. And then I don't think I started like recording my own music till like 8th grade, because that's when I started like making my own stuff. So there was like a time when it wasn't happening, but I was just like listening to hip hop at that time.
Did you always want to get back to writing and recording, or was it just, oh, that's not happening in the house anymore, so I'm not really focused
on it?
Yeah,
it was kind of like that. It was because it wasn't, obviously I'm like 4. I wasn't like passionate about it. I was right. just like, this is fun. And then sometimes be like, oh, I wish we still did that, whatever, whatever. And then, yeah, so I was never really thinking about it. And then I went to my homie's house in like 8th grade or something, and he was like making music. And I was like, oh, like I used to do this. Like I want to make a song. And then I made a song. And then I think I got to like my freshman year. My oldest brother was out of the house. It was just me and Ryan. And like, I recorded a song on like his laptop. He had like a MacBook with like a laptop speaker. And he made a beat on like GarageBand. It was like terrible. And I just like recorded something over it. And then like Ryan mixed it and like made it sound decent. So like freshman year, I had a song out. And I just remember like walking around school and like everyone had like speakers in their backpack and were like slapping my like song that I made my freshman year, and I thought that shit was filthy. Like when I was a freshman, and then I got older and I was like, damn, this is embarrassing.
This isn't good. Yeah. And so how often were you writing? Were you writing in like your own lyrics, or was it strictly when there's a track?
Up until what, like sophomore year or whatever, I wasn't like actively writing anything. I was just like, if someone had a beat on, like, I would, like, write something to it then and there. But I wasn't, like, going home and listening to beats and writing. I was just, like, playing Xbox or whatever, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And so during that time, that, like, transition period where you started getting back into music in a way, were you listening to the same stuff, or how was your taste evolving?
I think at that time I was listening to, like, Odd Future super tough. I listened to, like, a ton of Odd Future, and, like, Mac Miller was popping at the time, and then, like, if I was like kicking it with my friends at the park or whatever, we'd have like our speaker and we'd play like Tyga and like Drake. That was like when like the Motto came out. Mm-hmm. So it was like all just like hella mainstream shit. Like whatever was popping at that time, we were like slapping.
For sure. And what's interesting about your sound is that you've got your own sound, but it's really well structured. And I mean that in like the best way. And it sounds like you were always listening to records, or you always had your ear to records that were popular, which followed like that song structure, typical like A B A B,
yeah, CB.
Was that something you were aware of when you started writing, or was it just like kind of innate?
No, because when I started like actually like working on my own music at my homie's house, like the collective I used to make music with, which we can talk about in a bit, but that's just like what sounded pleasing to my ear. And I think maybe from listening to like Ryan songs or like songs that I listened to, I was just like, that's how it goes. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just like how I started making songs. So like now me and Jake have songs that aren't exactly in that same structure, but like that's pretty much the, like the baseline of what we follow, at least to start.
Yeah follow the rules to break them.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah, because that was something that I noticed, and it was in, I think for a listener, you know, it guides them through
kind of thing. But because no one, like, I don't want to listen to like a long ass verse and then like whatever. Like that's what I like to listen to. I want to listen to like first hook. Like, that's just what sounds nice to me, so that's just what I do, you know. It's just like pleasing to my ear, so I figure other people would like it.
Yeah, and hip hop's for sure changing that formula, especially with the Spotify and the like.
It's like the
first 6 seconds, so now everyone's leading with the hook.
Yeah, which is like, I think that's like key, because like, I mean, it's called the hook for a reason. Like, if your hook isn't banging and like doesn't come in right away, like, it's more often than not, people are going to get bored, you know?
Totally.
So I think it's important to have like a killer hook and just like start off with that. Yeah. And then like as I grow more and like develop more people listening to my music and develop who I am as an artist, I can like branch out more. But as I'm trying to like reel more people in, I think that's definitely the vibe, is like slapping them in the face with the hook right away.
Right. So it sounds like it's something you're cognizant of, hey, I'm in growth mode, so I'm gonna just reel as many people in as I can.
Yeah, I have like the most banging support team that like helps me with everything. Like between just like Jake and Ryan alone, is like I soak up so much game from them. It's like, just like the kids my age, I don't mean to like shit on anyone, but the kids in like my age starting to make music in the same position I am, like, don't have that. Mm-hmm. So they don't really understand that. They think it's just going to like, just like that. And it's like, they're up, you know. It's like, I have to be like appealing to people and like doing whatever I can to like market myself and like go out of my way to get fans and like follow people and interact with people that want to hit me up and whatever like that. So I think it's important.
Totally. And do you mind expand on that a little bit? Like what you've learned as far as you're in growth mode. And you mentioned reaching that audience. What did you learn along the way and from Jake and Ryan that really stuck with you? Like, oh, this is super important for maybe some artist that's trying to get started.
Definitely, like, if you don't have a ton, like a giant fan base, like, interact with the ones that are there. Like, talk to them. Like, I went on live the other night at Instagram at like 4 a.m. and like 6 people that like only know me from my music and joined, and I was like, oh, it's good. And so I like stayed on and talked with them. I like played them unreleased shit and just like keeping their attention, you know, and like making them feel more like a friend than like a consumer, you know. So like, it, like, even if it's just like DMing them or like swiping up on their story and being like, oh, it's good. So definitely just like try, I don't want to say not take it too seriously, but don't act like jaded about it.
Right.
Because, like, I don't know why that's ever appealing.
Like, yeah, if someone's like, just the aloofness. Like,
yeah, yeah. Especially not at this point in time for myself. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
For, like, people to reach out and me to just, like, not open. Like, it's not cool. Like, they know I see it, you know?
Yeah. Left on red.
Yeah, like, why?
And so it's interesting. You mentioned, you know, your brothers were in music. How has that shaped you now that you're putting out your own stuff? Has there been a conscious decision like, okay, they're doing that over here. I'm doing my own thing over here.
Yeah.
Cause like I would do music with my brother.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic. So I'm curious your perspective.
It's tight. I mean, now Ryan lives in LA, so like I don't get to see him as much, and me and my older brother don't talk a ton. So it's definitely, I'm just like, I just have Jake in this. Like if I ever need like an extra ear or something, like I send it to Ryan, and like, me and Ryan do try and line up like times when we can just like kick it and like write and make stuff like that. But it's definitely like a separate thing. Like sometimes I'll like come to him with advice and he's like, it's up to you. Like that's your creative decision, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like I don't want to be like leeching on to something, you know? I want to like make my own path and like walk my own way. And if they like bump into each other, that's great. That'll be tight. But I'm not like reaching for that, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother stuck with me, so we have the opposite. Like, what about this? I'm like, nah, dude. Nah, I got it.
Yeah, that's tight, though. I mean, that's nice, too, though.
Yeah. Cool. And so what it, you mentioned also, you really try to like rep like the North Seattle kind of thing. How has that impacted your music? Because especially now there's obviously a bias here, but I feel like there's certainly something like bubbling up here, and there's a lot of really talented people, and just – the past 2 weeks when I was out on the road, I was like, oh my gosh, Seattle's so competitive. And I didn't, in the best way, like
yeah,
so
yeah,
many
absolutely.
Talented people. So how has that kind of played into your approach to music?
I just think it's like, I mean, like growing up in North Seattle, it's like, that's like where I grew up. That's where all my friends are from. And like, we all like talk a different way. Like people who grew up in the South End talk different than we do in the North End. So it's just like the way I talk, like shit I've been through, shit I've seen, like all my experiences there, like, should I write about, you know, it all comes together. It's like the people I met through where I live and all that stuff. And definitely there's like definitely attention on us right now. Cause like people hate to say it, but like Mosey's popping right now. And like that definitely put eyes on us for sure.
Yeah.
And that's like, great. That's tight for us. So now there's like cats like Xavier Weeks who are like make something that's similar sounding or like get videos by the same people or like Isaac Jacuzzi. And now they get all the same attention or they're starting to get more attention, which is dope. I think it's a good thing. Cause people like to like hate on it and be like, oh, like Mosey's not even from Seattle, blah blah blah, but like who cares, like it's all eyes on like our scene, you know?
Right.
It's still a scene.
Yeah. And you go to anyone out like anywhere outside of Washington and say any other city other than Seattle, like what?
Yeah, exactly. So just like let him claim the city, like it's a good look for all of us.
Right.
Absolutely. But I mean, I do understand on the other hand of that, I do understand where people are coming from, like
totally.
He if you didn't grow up here, like you didn't see the shit they saw. You didn't get it. As long, like, if you're, like, trying to claim a hood in Seattle, like, that's weird. You know,
right.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But I see both sides of the leaf, you know?
Totally. I kind of want to go into, like, your songwriting process. We touched on it a little bit. Do you typically have a track set out, or what's before you start writing, or how do you like to, like, I guess we could jump in, like, Crazy, for example.
Yeah.
Do you mind walking me through that process? Are you, like, you've got this concept, let's go, or is it, let's get a track together?
It depends. It changed, like Crazy was like a different one because a lot of times I'll have like beats from Jake or like me and Jake will work on something together at the studio. But for Crazy, I don't remember if like I couldn't go to the studio or something. So I was just writing at home and I was just like, I'd heard all the beats I had too many times. So I was just like scrolling through YouTube and I was like, oh, like whatever type beat. And I found something dope, wrote a hook to it and then brought it to Jake. Or not even a hook. It was like the bridge in the song. Like she's sweet like some vanilla. I just wrote that part and then brought it to Jake. Recorded it and Jake just like strips the beat and then made something infinitely doper than what I had already written to or written
nice.
A little bit to, and then I just like rock with that. So and then I just write at the studio at Jake's house, and it like that song, it's like 50-50. Some songs come like so easily it's like ridiculous, and sometimes I'll just be like sitting there staring at my phone like fuck, I can't think of anything. But like Crazy was one of those ones where I recorded that. Me and Jake worked on the hook together, like, hummed melodies. He wrote some dope shit. I wrote some dope shit. And then, like, verses, I just knock out, like, fucking nothing. Like, I really struggle with hooks sometimes, but, like, verses are definitely my strong suit. I mean, the hook is the hardest part to write.
Totally.
Yeah, but, like, that song, I don't even know. We made that song in a really short amount of time, so that one was super easy.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was dope. But, yeah, that's basically, I mean, it's pretty similar process every time. Even if I do have a beat from Jake, it's, like, we cook up a hook together and then record it, and then I'll like get headphones and go sit outside and write my verse while Jake mixes the hook, come back in, record the verse, and then like repeat it for the second verse, and then the song's done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's tight.
What's the fastest that y'all have like laid down a song, like start to finish?
There's been some quick ones. I have one song. it fucking knocks. It's called Blah Blah, but it's like, I don't remember. Me and Jake recorded like all day, and I was like, my brain was dead. I was like, fuck this. I don't want to write anything else. Like, pull up a beat that knocks. And Jake scrolled through, drags one in. I was like, yep. I like took my shirt off. I was like sweaty because it was hot. And I like stomped down to the booth and just recorded like the hardest freestyle over the beat. And then me and Jake were like, yo, like that's fucking gas. We're like, yo, we need a hook for that. And Jake just like gave me some shit to say, and I built off that, and I recorded the hook. So we got that done in like 30 minutes.
Nice.
It knocks. But like, I was freestyling and I was just having fun. So it's like low key some ignorant bullshit. So that song like won't see the light of day.
Right.
Maybe I could rework it and make something happen.
Yeah.
But if it's something like that, but like a song that I write, I have a song called Bumblebee that's like, it's pretty pop. It's fire though. But I think we cranked that out pretty quickly. It just came like really naturally. We were just like sitting on the porch and like listening to the beat through a phone and like started humming, and I was like, oh, that's fire. I said something, and we got that one done in like a few hours.
Nice.
But other songs can take like one song I started and like didn't come back to it for like a month or something like that. So it's just, yeah, it's never like super, what's the word? It's never just like super black and white, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, it's like pretty different every time.
Yeah, have you heard of that song Hand Clap by Fits and the Tantrums?
No, I have not.
It's super similar to your story. Basically, they were in the studio all day. They had writer's block.
Oh my God.
And they were going to leave. And he goes, we'd paid for all the studio time. We're not leaving without anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally the hook, like the instrumental hook at the beginning is a single. It's like, ba 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 ba. And that's all it is. And it was this, like, it's like a platinum selling song.
Jesus.
Like alternative radio, number one for like weeks. And he what said it was fuck? Literally because they were like, we're not leaving. They wrote it in 15 minutes. And it's all these like crazy players that had been around for like 20, 30
and
years.
And just making simple shit.
They stripped it down, went super simple. And 15 minutes later, they cut it. And in a couple weeks, the label was like, yup, it's the single. And it was like their biggest
what?
Hit to date.
Yeah,
and
it's so fire.
Yeah.
And that's dope, but at the same time, like, imagine putting just, like, fucking hours into, like, an album or multiple songs, and then you're like, oh, let's just make this, and it just fucking pops. Like,
it's like, that's not even what I worked on.
Yeah, exactly. It puts eyes on your other shit, but, like, I'd be like, god damn. Like, yeah, I just shit this out.
Yeah. It's that same thing with that song Renegade by X Ambassadors. Do you guys remember that? It was licensed everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That was just another, like, bullshit I'm not leaving situation.
It was, I was listening to it, and sorry to get sidetracked. It was this guy, he was on, like, Andy Grammer's podcast, and it was the singer of that band, and he said their management hit them up like, oh, this company wants you to write, like, it's like a car company, they just want you to write about like being free or something. And he wrote it in 15 minutes.
Oh,
the melody.
God.
And he said like he was like, I thought it was a good song, but I was kind of upset. And it was called Renegade. He had no idea it was for the Jeep Renegade. So they were like,
oh,
perfect.
Shit.
It was like the perfect licensing. Pops off, multi-platinum.
Yeah,
but
the stars just aligned for that,
right,
song. That's crazy.
But it's like super folky, and they're not folky.
Oh my
but
god.
But then everyone thought they were folky, and for their follow-up record, the label's like, we don't know what to do with you because this is your big hit. Like, but that's not what we do.
Yeah, that's even worse. That's that would crush me if
yeah,
I just made like a country song.
Yeah.
And then just like pops. Popped as a country artist. Like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd make it work.
Yeah. But yeah, it is just kind of funny how that like happens.
Yeah.
Like, cool. And so it sounds like there's a couple different approaches, and then you finish a song. Well, I guess let's actually take a step back a sec.
Yeah.
You'd like sang over beats and rapped over beats that your brothers are doing. And then how do you come to meet Jake? And I realize I took us kind of out of order here, but
how did you guys
start working together?
Me and Jake, we met through, I think it was just because I'd like seen him like producing for Ryan or like working on shit with Ryan. And I was like, damn, like, Jake is filthy. Like, I was like, damn, Jake is super fire. And then I was, like, at the time getting more into electronic music. And then I started listening to Jake's electronic music. And I was like, this is fucking insane. Like, this is so dope. And then we had like a party at my house for something, and Ryan invited Jake, and then me and Jake just like kicked it. Like Jake kicked it with like me and my homies at this party. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, hey, like I have this song idea, like, but I don't want to record at the same place I've been recording. Like it's nothing's coming. Nothing good is coming out of there. Like, can we try? And Jake was like, yeah, I'm going to just book the session. And then it was just like the dopest song I've ever made. Like, I remember after that, it was like me and my homie Ellington, and we like, we were leaving the studio and we were like kind of trying to play it cool, but we got in the car and we were both just like, what the fuck? Like, this is fucking nuts. And I like drove to my homie's house in Lake City. I was like, bro, come outside now. He's like in his underwear. He's like, why? Like asleep. I'm like, bro, come outside now. He comes out, hops in the car, and we just like slapped it four times. He was like, this is like fucking nuts, blah, blah, blah. That was White Lies.
Oh, right.
He was
on.
Like, this sounds so good. Yeah. Like, this is so much better than everything you've been making. And I was like, yeah, no. And after that, I was like, damn, well, like, I'm not hanging out with these other dudes anymore. Like, over that. So that shit was tight. It was super easy, too. Like, me and Jake just had chemistry. Like, we had known each other for a minute. It sounds like we're dating, basically. And it was like, we're just like super good homies, and like, we just meshed really well, and like we're like able to write together well, and like bounced ideas off each other really well. So it's like it all came so easy. I was like, yeah, like we have to keep working. Like it for wasn't sure. Up to Jake at that point. I was like, yep. Well, I'm coming back over soon.
Nice. And through that experience, I guess what did you learn about the value of a producer?
I mean, aside from like just having like a nice place to record, I didn't realize that like how much input a producer should be having. I mean, at least in my relationship with my producer, is that it's like, it's not like he's just making my beats. It's like my music is like, it's like our music. It's not just mine. And like, he's like helps me writing. Like he helps me with so much shit. He like taught me about my entire voice. Like I didn't know I could sing until I met Jake. Like Jake gave me like vocal lessons and like just like really helped build me as an artist. And I think that's really important, that like, obviously I'm making it sound like it's just like cooking an egg easy, but it's like you should be able to like have someone that helps, that like builds with you and like not really just like records you and is like, yep, like peace, like someone that like really like makes something with you, you know, like someone to create with. And then aside from that, like having a nice place to record, like I was saying,
yeah.
The other night we had to record the homie, and I was just, he needed a song like the next day. And we're looking for people to hit up, and Jake was out of town. And usually I would just go to Jake and be like, yo, can you help my homie out? And Jake would be with it. But I'm like hitting everyone up, and everyone's like, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, fuck. So I have one dude I can hit up. Bless his soul. And I hit him up, and he's like high out of his mind. He's like, yep, come through. I was like, okay. And I pull up to his crib, and he comes outside with a backpack. And I'm like, yo, can we hop in the house? And he's like, oh no, this is my girl's house. Like, you guys can't come in. I was like, well, where the fuck are we gonna go? He's like, we can just record it in the car. I was like, in my car? He was like, yeah. And then like gets in the car, pulls out this like giant laptop, and like hands my homie a mic with a pop filter taped to it. And like, I was like blessed that I've been recording with Jake since like basically the jump of like my real music career. Cause like, people be doing that. Like, I didn't realize that that's like a real fucking thing, that people have to deal with that shit. So, like, that is one big thing. It's like, I can go to Jake's house and, like, eat food with his family and, like, then go work and, like, be in, like, a real-ass studio and not in the back of my fucking car holding a mic.
Yeah. I tried to DIY record vocals to my band's record because I got a mix and I was like, it doesn't sound full enough. And the producer sent me like this long list of stuff to do. And I was at that apartment that you'd been to. And he was like, yeah, and I had one of these. So I was like, great. I've got an SM7. It's going to be fine. And he was like, yeah, surround yourself with shirts and like make a mini, like, and I didn't know what I was doing. Like, okay. And so I made, like, I went in this closet, which was only about like 2.5 feet deep. And I was like sitting there trying to like twist myself and like hung shirts all around me and was trying to do these backing vocals. But I didn't have this rig. All I had was like an H4N. So I was recording in, I had no click. No,
damn.
I couldn't hear anything. So I was listening to the track on like headphones, and I just sent him these stems,
like,
and
earbuds.
He just hit me back. I was like, "No, nah, we're not even gonna, we're not doing this."
Yeah, first one's good.
Yeah, he was like, first one's good, and I was like, I got the money from our studio times. That's fine. We're just going with the version we got.
Fine. And it's good.
Like, all right, sounds good.
That song in the past. That's what happened.
You're probably just sitting over your cringing. Like, what the hell are you doing?
After we're in my car with the dude, my homie like could not bring himself to like record. He's like in tears laughing because this is like hilarious, dude. Like, this dude is like falling asleep, like trying to record my homie, and I'm like, I called Jake. I'm like, bro, like, can we please go record at your house? Like, please. He's like, he's out of town. He's like, okay, like, I'll call my dad and ask. And then he's like, yep, we got the green light. So we drive to Jake's house. And like, in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, like, I got the setup. I watched Jake do this. And then he just like sends me a paragraph. He's like, do this, this. And I'm like, what the fuck does any of this mean? And then I like had to call Jake like 9 times. I finally figure it out, and then I'm like, all right, time to mix. Like, yeah, I've watched Jake mix so many times. This is about to be easy. And I'm just like, it's so nuts. Like,
it's a science,
all the shit
for sure.
That's going on the screen. I was like, And like, it took like so long. It took like 3 hours to record like 1:41 of a song.
Yeah.
It was just bad. So that's another thing I appreciate, is that it's nice to have a producer that like knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
So I don't have to try and figure the shit out myself.
Well, that's a testament to you, like Jake, also, that you guys did a song that you could do in 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
Kind of,
yeah,
thing.
That's the other thing too, is that, yeah, like, after doing that, I'm like, how does Jake, like, how do we make a beat and record and mix it and have it done in like an hour? Like, what the fuck? Like, that's just nuts. Like, I couldn't open Ableton in 10 minutes. I'm like, why isn't it opening? Like, how do I put the beat into Ableton? Like, I just need to download it. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. So that's great. Yeah, it's really nice to have.
Yeah, for sure. And it lets you be more creative too, in that sense. Like, great, skip straight to it.
Yeah, that's like, I feel like that's really important. And I feel like, I mean, if you can do both, that's great. But at least for me personally, I just like, I want to focus on being like the best at what I do in the room. So I don't want to have to worry about like producing, mixing, any of that. I just want to be the best at like projecting my voice and like writing things that I'm going to rap, and just like not have to worry about the other end of it, you know? And
totally.
It's great, because I feel like I'm good enough that Jake doesn't have to worry about my end of things either. Jake can make the beat. And then once we're like both in a good place, we can then come together, and then that's when we start crafting things together.
Totally. And then after that song is complete, do you have a typical approach, or I guess have you learned things along the way for rollouts? Like, okay, great, we've got this track.
The way White Lies started, I was like very like, I was like, I need to drop this tomorrow. Like, I like went out and like shot a video. I like paid this dude, shot a video in like 4 days or whatever, and I'm like, yep, I need this. We finished the song like early September. I'm like, yep, we need it by like the 20th. I'm putting it out on the 20th. And then in that time, Jake was like, yeah, don't do that. Like, which I'm really glad he told me, because I would have been like one song out and nothing to follow it up with. So I was able to like at least learn to like sit on my music and like stack shit. And then also like make sure I still like the song. I feel like that's important, because I've had a handful that I listened back to and I'm like, I hate it.
Yeah.
But like, fortunately enough for White Lies, that shit was, I loved it like every second I listened to it. So
and it
was
did
tight.
Super well.
Yeah, like, I was like hella surprised. Like, I was expecting like 2,000 streams at the time that I had now, and like I checked earlier and it's sitting at like 30,000 on Spotify.
Yeah.
So like for my first drop, like that's insane.
Yeah.
And that's like not all credit to me. Like, obviously, like, I have, like, homies with, like, hella followers that were, like, go slap this. And, like, my homies promoted the shit out of it. And, like, yeah, so just for rollouts, like, I don't really have, I haven't dropped that much music. And I'm trying to figure the shit out myself. I don't want to ask, like, every person I have, like, how do I do this? How do I do this? Because, like, I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
And also, I want to learn.
Yeah.
So I'm still experimenting. But honestly, like, it's just, like, plan when I'm going to drop it and like announce it and build hype. And then when it's out, just like push the fuck out of it for 2 weeks. Like, everyone share it, everyone slap it, like post videos, make whatever to it, like put it on your story. And so that's just like what I've been doing.
And it really is interesting, because I think you bring up a good point of getting like a grassroots thing going. A lot of folks will be like, dropped it. Why? The music should speak for itself.
Yeah.
And there's so much coming out that, to your point, having those folks that are getting out there and reacting and really actively pushing something.
Yeah, because like not even looking at it at like a overhead, like every person who raps, like just in Seattle, there's so much shit coming out. Like, I need like everyone I have to be pushing the fuck out of it for it to even like, you know, scratch the surface and people to start listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I, yeah, that's like a key thing that I don't know a lot of people get, or like maybe even like timeline of like how long they should be promoting. Cause I saw a dude like pushing a song for like 6 months and I'm like, dude, we've all heard it.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. Like, it's, I'm still listening to it, but like, I don't want to see you post about it.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not trying to shade anyone. Like, if that works for you, fuck it.
Totally. But it's your point of also at that point, you need to have something to follow it up. So if you're 6 months deep and you've only got one thing to talk about, yeah, that's a business strategy issue.
That's kind of where people start like fucking it. And also I'm like saying all this, but like, what do I know? Like I'm two songs deep. Like,
right.
But people low key, like, I feel like will like have one thing out and then kind of just be like in the water, you know? And it's like they're in a rush. They have to like, and that might work. Like if people like work well under pressure, tight. But like me personally, if I had pressure on me, like Jake knows better than anyone, I couldn't write shit. Like I would just be like mad in the studio. But like, so fortunately I was able to like stack up shit. So now it's at the point it's like, fuck, like which one do I drop next?
Yeah.
Like, so many options, which is tight. But I can also see the other side of the coin. It's like, yeah, I guess it would be tight to just like have this one and like know this is the next one and like know how you're going to go about it. Cause like I'm planning my next release and it's like, I don't know how I'm going to go about it. Cause I don't even know which one I'm going to pick yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like benefits to both sides.
Are you going to like crowdsource it all? Like give it to like 10 people and be like, which of these do you like and see?
I just ask my homies, but like my homies are too supportive.
Yeah.
I have like
all of them. Drop them all now.
I have like five friends. I don't have a lot of friends, or people are about to get butthurt. I have like five homies, and like we'll all kick it, and we'll just sit in the car and just slap it, and they'll just be like, "Fuck, like this is filthy." Next one, they're like, "Yo," and then I'm like, "Which one should I drop?" They're like, "What?" They're all fire, and then they're like, "I don't know, bro. You pick." I'm like, "That's not why I have you. Like, if it was up to me, I wouldn't invite you, but like, thank you."
Yeah,
that's definitely part of the process, though. Like after I record a song, I need to get in the car with the bros and I need to just slap it because that makes, but maybe that's not a good thing because like they pipe me up and we just like go hard to my music and then I'm just like, this is the filthiest thing ever. So like if it doesn't do great, I'm like upset.
Right.
I'm like, we all thought it was the best.
And you mentioned before we got in here kind of like how tech doesn't always work and support, you know, what you're trying to do as well. So how do you, when you're rolling something out, do you have like for future rollouts, are you gonna have like contingency plans or anything like that? For example, like a site goes down or links break or anything like that.
I mean, that's a good thought. I haven't put any thought into it. When I dropped Crazy, I got fucked my first day. I feel like I swear so much.
Oh, you're good.
I got fucked my first day. And we put out Crazy and like me and Jake like gave it our first push and like, I click the link to check and it doesn't work. I'm like, what? And then I'm opening Instagram and I'm scrolling and I keep getting this notification, but I just keep clicking out of it because I'm a dumbass. I'm scrolling. I'm like, why the fuck does it keep popping up? And then I get one. It's like your promotion. Like it did not get approved. I'm like, why? And I check and it's like, this link is not allowed. And then the notification pops up and it's like, the link in your bio is not allowed. And I was like, oh, and I clicked it and it didn't work. So I had to change it. But like, and I'm like panicking at this point. Cause like, I'm like doing shit. I'm like, fuck, like I can't be on my phone right now. Like I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, Jake, like, please fix it. Please fix it. So we go through like multiple like fan link type things because the one in my bio wasn't working and Instagram wasn't even letting me delete it. I would try and delete it and then press done. It's like, try again later. I'm like, why?
Oh, geez.
And then we finally got one that worked and it's just like, I just missed out on like so much opportunity at that point. But I don't even know how I would, like, combat that. I guess just have, like, multiple links just ready just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things, too, where it's, like, tech always, like, it's, like, fantastic until it's, like, time.
And yeah,
it's like,
and what? Then it's fucked. Yeah, like, and then that was also just, like, I think that was such a key in, like, White Lies' drop is that everything went, like, too smooth. Like, it will never be that smooth.
Right.
Like, everything worked. All my posts were looking good. The quality was good. My links were working. Like, people's swipe ups were working and then I drop Crazy and it's like the polar opposite.
Right.
Like nothing's working. Like I watched the video that I post on Instagram on 3G and it like looked really bad and I was like, fuck. Like,
oh no.
Like I'm fucked. But we got it sorted. So
yeah.
That's good.
It's a great like learning experience though, because one thing you noted was like the high res stuff and like quality of it.
Yeah,
some people will just and I'm not trying to shit on anybody, but we'll just throw something out there, and then it's like a downloaded Instagram story picture with like the writing on it. And it's like, hey, like, go check it out.
Like the write a message, like they screenshotted it type shit.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Like if the homies do that, like, great.
Right.
Post it. But if you're doing that, like, I think people should just, or maybe not, like if that's their brand, if they're just like, I don't give a fuck. But that's just like not really mine.
Right.
So I try and make sure my shit's like crisp, but in like a laid back way.
Totally.
So I like couldn't let people know I was panicking. I'm like on my story, like, yeah, the story's fucking up, but like who cares? But in my head, I'm like, God damn it. Like,
yeah. There's no way this is
happening. Like, this is terrible. But it was, it's definitely a good learning experience because like now I know in the future, I mean, there's not really much to take out of it other than just like be cool. Like,
right.
I was tripping. And I'm hitting Jake up. I'm like, we're fucked. Like, I'm like probably stressing Jake out because I'm texting him. I'm like, yeah, this is it. I'm like, I'm done.
Career is officially over.
Probably over from here, man. Jake gets that text 3 times a week. I like get writer's block. I'm like, I fucking lost it. Like, I'm just kidding more. He's like, don't say that. I'm like, I'm done.
This is it. I'm going to go back to whatever. Car recordings.
Yeah,
and
I'm just going to go back, man. Something with you isn't clicking.
No, but do you have like a pipeline of content then that you do you try to keep like a backlog of stuff for like social media and all that?
Yeah, yeah. Jake put me on this app, but I don't remember the name of. It's like Asada. Or Asana. I always call it Asada. It's Asana, and it's just like I don't even know why I'm talking about it. We don't use it.
I do.
Okay, Jake uses it, and I don't use it, but it's like it's how you organize your tracks, and like we keep track. It's like this one's like early progress, this one's almost done, these are done,
nice,
like whatever. And then I kind of keep in my notes like maybe I'll drop this, but like I have like songs that are like fitting for when I'm gonna drop them, or at least I feel like, oh, like people are going back to school, like it's gonna be sunny, so like maybe this one. So I have like an idea in my head. I think that's low-key probably the only spot that me and Jake bump heads, is that he's like very organized and I'm like not, like in the slightest. He's like, oh, let's book the studio session. I'm like, I don't like making plans. Like, like I like to hit Jake up day of, like, yup, can I come to the studio right now? I'm outside of your house. And he's like, no. And I'm like, fuck it. Like, that's how I like. So I'm trying to get better though. Like, hopefully Jake can see. I'm working on it. So I'm trying to start a little bit, you know, out of the baby steps, but I'm starting to get a little more organized, start playing a little more, start using Asada or whatever. Yeah, I'm figuring it out though.
But it sounds like you have an innate sense of what works musically. You know, you were mentioned like, oh, sunshine, like this vibe fits that. Like, as far as you've got some like innate marketing stuff.
Yeah.
That is, which is super important.
I like to think that, but then like also, I mean, I think I get a good feel of that, but then I have to ignore my bias that like I only want to listen to happy music ever.
Right.
And so like me and Jake will be trying to make something like not the most upbeat thing you've ever heard. And I'm like, no. So like I'm working on that as well. But I think I have a good idea of what people want to hear when they hear it. And like I'm working on, like I feel like I have more shit planned out for winter than like next. So that's good. I feel like well prepared. And I think I do have like a pretty solid grip of like what the demographic I'm reaching for is going to want to listen to at this time. But I also could be completely wrong.
It's like great to have an idea. And then at the end of the day, it's a crapshoot. It's like we're talking about with those pop artists earlier, where it's like, you work on something and then the other thing pops off.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
But like, yeah, I'm excited to get to a point where it's like, I have more than 2 songs out, so it's like people aren't relying on me to like put this out when they want to hear it. It's like, oh, I want to hear this, I'll go back and listen to this. But I mean, I'm getting, you know, more and more to that point.
Yeah,
I can't drop everything I have at once.
Totally. No, it sounds like you're taking a super calculated approach, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think I kind of like beat up on myself too much. I stress myself out really bad. I'm like constantly think I'm fucking everything up, but comparatively, and I don't like to compare myself to people around me a ton, but like if I do, it's like I do seem to have a better grip on that than they at least like speak to me about. So I mean, I try to just like worry about myself, and like I feel like what I'm doing is right, so hopefully it'll go well.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the White Lies and Crazy are awesome. So I think you've got the foundation, you know, and I think that's the most important thing is you're obviously building something really great. And putting that quality out is going to be way more important than the long run.
Absolutely.
So
I'm just really excited for like the next shit to come too, because like every song is like pretty different. It's like on some like the way Lil Nas X dropped like Old Town Road and then has this album and like every song is a different genre, just like a little bit more calculated. It's like not everything's a different genre, but it's like none of the songs sound hella similar. So I'm just excited to see like what people like, what songs more, and like who I'm grabbing more of and all that stuff. So like I think that'll be tight.
Yeah, and in a singles culture now, especially with genres bending so much,
mm-hmm.
I feel like listeners are way more open to that kind of
approach. Which is sick, because like I mean however many years back, I was still a kid, but like my brother and my dad told me like, oh, if like you're listening to rap, like you're not gonna listen to rock, like you're not gonna listen to pop, you're not gonna listen to whatever the fuck. But like now it's like so, it's such like a fluid thing. I think it's super dope, because even if you scroll through like my iTunes, it's like I make rap, but in my library it's like, you know, less rap than whatever else. So I think that's dope. So that does make me feel more confident in like breaking out of my comfort zone a bit and like working on a record that like sounds more pop, or like using like this guitar in this beat. So it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't have to be like cookie cutter, like this is hip hop, you know?
Totally. And I feel like hip hop is a genre out of all the genres we're seeing. And I guess you could equate pop to it, because I feel like hip hop pretty much is pop now.
At this point. Yeah.
But it is the one that's pulling from so many. That. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Not really. But I think it came from a culture early on of sampling other genres. And I feel like when I talk to a lot of hip hop artists now, they're the ones that are pulling and kind of have a more open mind about music.
Yeah.
Because they're looking to innovate in what's next, and it is on top right
now.
Yeah,
and you have to, because like the rap game is like so flooded. It's like why wouldn't you like expand and reach out to like something that people in your genre aren't listening to and like suck them into it?
Totally.
Like you don't want to just make the same shit that people are making like wherever, you know? It's like it doesn't want to sound the same. And like everyone's dope and puts their own twist to it, but at the end of the day, like shit sounds so similar. Mm-hmm. So the people that are grabbing outside sources are like rappers that are collaborating with people that like you wouldn't imagine would do that. Like those are the people that end up staying on top.
Totally.
Like Post Malone's good at that. Like I didn't think Post Malone would drop something with Young Thug, and that shit's like fire. And like that gave Post Malone like a handful of Thug fans, and Thug fans got like Post Malone fans. It's just like a good mix.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like he was on tour with Aerosmith, and it was like, what
yeah,
the heck?
Yeah.
Happening
so like
here?
He can do like that and then go do tour with Aerosmith. Like that's nuts.
Yeah.
It's tight though.
Totally. Before we get into the final segment, I do have a get stumped segment for you. All so right. I'm just going to give you two options, and off the cuff, you got to give me your preference. So AC/DC or Motley Crue?
AC/DC.
Tory Lanez or Dominic Fike?
Tory Lanez.
Stoney or Beer Bongs and Bentleys?
Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
Recording the back of a car or the front of the car?
Front of the car in the driver's seat. I need to prop the mic on the wheel. No handheld anymore.
Slightly deeper here at the end, what do you feel like sets your music apart?
Apart from any other music I'm hearing, I just feel like it's not like, it just doesn't have like the same sound.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the shit that's coming out right now, especially in the people that I will be compared to, they just have like really similar sounding beats, and it's because a lot of people use the same producers or like to look up the same YouTube beats. But like I have the dopest producer, and he can like work with whatever idea I have. And also I feel like a lot of people are kind of like focusing on portraying an image, and I just kind of like want to like tell stories. And like I feel like I have a good mix of like having fun and making something that's fun, but also like putting emotion into my songs and like, you know, putting the bow on it by like incorporating real shit that's happened. I mean, my two songs that I have are about the same girl, but obviously like that shit really happened. Like she really is fucking crazy.
So but it comes from like a raw place.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how many people are like, and that's great because like that does appeal to some people, but I feel like right now that's, and I feel like it's sort of starting to come back that like, I don't want to use the term real music, but like I've seen it before that people are like, oh, like real music's coming back like 2020. So I feel like it's dope that more people are starting to put more emotion into it. And I feel like that was kind of missing for a few years, or at least I just wasn't hearing it maybe.
Yeah.
But it just sounded like it was all kind of just like flexing, and like a lot of the kids my age just like flex and like talk their shit. And like, don't get me wrong, like I love talking my shit, but like I want to be able to make shit that someone can relate to. Like, yeah. I just like the thing I always tell myself is that like at the end of the day, if I had to like work a job, like a day job while I'm making music, like I would be perfectly happy to it as long as I was like inspiring kids to be able to do whatever they want. Because like if I can make a kid feel how like ASAP Rocky made me feel in eighth grade, like my work here is done.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I think a lot of people don't really think about what their long-term goal is, or their long-term goal might just be money. Mm-hmm. But for me, like obviously money's dope, but I just want to like make people, make kids in particular feel like, oh, like if he's doing it, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. Like if this chubby kid with fucked up teeth can like be on Billboard, I can do the same shit. You know, I just like want to, so that's why I'm trying to like keep my teeth fucked up. Like I'm trying to lose weight a little bit, but like I'm trying to stay like a little weird looking. Like I just want people to know they don't have to like look like Justin Bieber or whoever the fuck. And that's why I think Dominic Fike's so dope too. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent.
No, this is
perfect. Because like he got his deal and like they have to make him a huge artist to like make their money back. And he has like a pink buzz cut and like face tattoos. So it's just like broadening what can be mainstream. And like I want to also take part in broadening that. Like I don't want to like, just because I like look a certain way, I don't want to have to make a certain music. That's why I don't want to like make heavy trap music, because that's what I look like I would make. I want to be able to like get on a pop record. I want to be able to sing on some shit. I want to be able to get on a guitar. I want to be able to talk my shit when the time comes. Like I just want to, I feel like I'm just, that also is what sets it apart. It's just like I feel I'm really comfortable in what I do, and I'm also comfortable if Jake pulls me out of my comfort zone, he's like there to guide me through that. And I feel like not a lot of people have that, and they kind of just stay in their same box.
Totally. That's awesome, man.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much for rolling through. I'm super excited to hear what's next. Crazy's dope.
Thank you.
We're putting it up. It'll be on the Spotify playlist, all that good stuff.
Fuck yeah.
So tell people where they can find you. Socials, website, what you got coming up.
Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Spotify, iTunes, Rilla. It's all Rilla, VRILLAH. Look me up. Follow me. DM me. I'll say what's up.
Right on. Cheers, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
She's sweet like some vanilla. She leave my stomach aching. And I work hard to feel ya, but you stay being lazy. I thought that this was real love, but you can't be my baby. No, no. Like Impala's, her attitude like a cheetah. My jaw done dropped when I saw her. But them eyes looking evil, they make you scared just to call her. I mean, like, honestly, I couldn't see. You act like you're real, but you playing with me. When I pull away, you make friends with the team. You say that you love me, but you love the green. I cannot lie, you look better with me. You stick to my hip like I'm rolling in cheese. But you disappear when I paper the plea. Keep me on my toes, man, you such a little drama. It's crazy, tequila. When I sip, you sip, we sip. Not sure if I am just buzzing or your loving got me lit. Either way, I'll keep on rocking, cause I love the game you spit. All through the nighttime, you stuck in my head. Can't lie, something don't feel right when you in my bed. Wake up and realize you left me for dead. But I'll keep coming back to the words that you say. You drive me crazy.
Odio.
That was Crazy by Vrilla and Jake Crocker. Absolutely love that song. Be sure to purchase or stream it on your preferred music platform. Share it with your friends and follow Vrilla on his socials, all at V-R-I-L-L-A-H, Vrilla. And then Jake Crocker, of course, at I Am Jake Crocker. They've got a lot of amazing stuff in their back pocket. You don't want to miss it. Also, Made For Music is now on Spotify, so please go follow and rate the podcast. You can find it by searching Made For Music Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N. Be sure to follow the podcast and not the Spotify profile. Kind of confusing. Of course, if you're on Apple Podcasts or any other preferred medium, please rate and subscribe there as well. And I will see you next time.